cliffcentral.com.
Ah, yes. Yes. I'll say, anybody get the number of that there bus? Is that guy called Chicken Little? The character, right? From
Both Ben and Hart.
Hello, Gordo, what's happening? Ah, Sia, Bulelo. Hello, everybody. What's going down?
Tomorrow. And nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing's going on. Human. So Gord says to me this morning as we start the show, he goes, "I am grumpy and I look forward to your mirth." So I certainly hope I can help on that front. Wow. It's a lot of pressure. It's a huge amount of pressure. All right.
No, you just do you.
Oh, you just do you, Gord. Oh.
Sunshine and my only sunshine, Gareth.
So,
Sia is all right as well.
Okay, good. Yeah, hello, Sia. How's it, Mulelo? How's it, Funda? How's it to you? What's going on? It's, well, what is it, Wednesday morning? It's the 22nd of April. We got lots to talk
27th
about.
27th day in lockdown.
27 days. You are Nelson Mandela in days, not years.
Yo, don't do that. You people have now been
living in your apartment.
Oh, people have been for things like that. Aside from having great food, contact with your friends, any rocks and no beatings, yeah. It's exactly the same as one day for every year Nelson Mandela was in jail.
Exactly. It's exactly.
Oh, don't make that comparison.
Right. Or you
can. Like Gareth was frozen in time.
Really enjoying that laugh.
Uh-oh, we got like an internet situation going on, clearly, because you guys are like very stop-start. Let me just see if I can fix this up. I'm not even sure what the hell's happening with the internet today, but yesterday wasn't great either, so I'm really appreciative of anybody who listens to the show and is able to forgive the not-so-perfect situation that we've got. I don't know what it is. Like, some days it's all great. Other days it's a disaster. So I'm trying to figure out what the hell's happening with the internetses. Oh, you see, this connection's just no good. Anyway, I'm sure you watched the president last night, and if you didn't watch him, because I was not going to, and then I suddenly thought, ugh, there's so much riding on this right now. We all have to know what's happening, right? And it would be childish and really stupid and irresponsible of me to not at least see what was going on. So I did watch the president last night, and it was, on one hand, infuriating and maddening, and on the other hand, I was just, you know, I was trying to make sense of it all, because to be perfectly frank, like, I don't know what the hell they're thinking at the moment. I don't know whether they are thinking. There's a whole lot of money that's been promised that it'll be poured into the economy. Of course, none of it is going to go to the people who can actually sustain that economy. It's all emergency relief measures for people who the ANC is carrying favor with. Really, if you boil it down, that's what it is. And that it's driving me mad, because it means that the ANC are placing ideology above all else. And a part of me is trying to understand this from the point of view that Cyril has enemies in his own party that he's trying to reduce in terms of their influence. And then there's the other part of me that's just extremely cynical about this and says, well, you know what? I realize this about the ANC. I realize this about Cyril Ramaphosa, and he's just a creature of the ANC. And frankly, we've just got to do what we can do to make a difference where we can. And I feel like that's such a sad cop-out, and I don't want to be that guy. But at the same time, I don't really have an option, and I think that's how a lot of people are feeling at the moment. So it's not all rainbows and unicorns and roses at this stage. I'm not feeling great about this, and I have to be perfectly honest with you. I can't lie. I can't start the show this morning with mirth and, you know, this feeling that everything's fine, because I'm not feeling fine at the moment about things. So, listen, what we're going to do, I'm just going to try and get this connection sorted out. I don't know what's going on here. I'm going to reset the internetses, and let's see if we can start again from scratch. So, Mfundo, if you can just play a song on your side quickly, and then I'll figure out what the hell to do on my side, and we can maybe get cracking from the start. Maybe there's some kind of reset that'll just start stuff up properly. So if you can play a song on your side, I'll come back in a second, and we'll get the show on the road.
If this were my last song, would you listen closer? If this were my last song.
So you got Gord and Mbuleleo and Sia, and I just want to thank everybody who's been so patient with us over the last couple of days when we have had the odd technical problem, because these things are unpredictable and there's really not much we can do. I know yesterday was a little bit stop-start with certain internet connections, and it happens, you know, maybe one day Sia's isn't so good, the next day it's mine, and we just have to cope with these things. So I'm not even cross. But I was yammering on about the president and his speech last night and what that means for us. I'm still digesting a lot of it, so I'm not going to go into a huge analysis on what exactly it means. But I have to.
For an actual announcement on Thursday.
Yeah, well, that thing last night was him promising to give everybody money, which he doesn't have.
Only except self-employed people. We don't have to worry about it. At least there won't be forms to fill in, because every level of employment, from unemployed all the way through to very lightly employed through to you make more than $100 million a year, there's a package for you. But if you've never missed a debit order on your own damn 2 feet, screw you and your clients that have all disappeared in the last 2 months.
That's it. And those people are the backbone of the economy. So in other words, I mean, it's like a big fantasy Santa Claus list for, you know, for people who expect the government to solve their problems. But what you have to realize about this is that 500 billion rand has to come from somewhere now. And we do not have that. You know, we don't have any money. We're in huge debt. Now, what we're doing is kicking the can down the road. And again, I don't want to go into a whole analysis of this thing, because I haven't done it hasn't even settled in my head yet what was done yesterday. What the president's promised to do is that we're going to phase the economy back in, so we can expect certain things to start getting back to a new normal from next week, end of next week on. But I'm telling you this, all of this that he's promised, if you are foolish enough to think that this is the solution to the problem that we're sitting with now, you are extremely simple-minded. And you probably don't have a very good education, or maybe a very good basic intelligence. Because here's the problem. If you kick the can down the road like this guy is now, and of course he's doing what he can, so I'm not going to criticize. I'm also going to try and be sympathetic. He's got to do something. He's got to try and stimulate the economy somehow. He's got to try and keep people from rioting and breaking and destroying everything that we have, what little we have left in terms of infrastructure.
Like the economy is just going to allow me to stimulate other people.
Yeah, but Gord, you know, we can either get cross about this, which is always my first reaction to it, is because I think politicians are by and large the least qualified people in the world for the job which they have. You know, if you're an engineer and you fail consistently at your engineering job, you eventually stop being an engineer. But if you're a politician and you fail consistently, you can keep being a politician until you're dead one day, as evidenced by Robert Mugabe just north of us. And here's the problem. He's making debt for you and for me and for our children. And even if we don't have children, we're all going to find ourselves paying this off for the rest of our lives. It's not a good picture. And he talks at the end of his speech in hopeful tones about, oh, we're going to get through this and the economy is going to get better, but we're going to have like this socialist utopia. That he's obviously throwing that in for the people in his own party, who he really only wants to address. He's not that interested in everybody else. And I found it deeply unsettling. It made me think that he doesn't really care about me. He didn't care about a lot of people in this country. He's trying to placate the masses who he needs to keep in place because they're his power base. And I'm very, very depressed about it. But I'm going to try and be sensible and let the dust settle and try to figure out, by speaking to smart people I know, trying to figure out how we can make the best of a bad situation.
So all you want to say is that he don't really care about us.
Okay, Michael Blackson.
I felt like we were getting lubed for a further extension on Thursday.
I
felt it was like a little bit of foreplay for like a, hey, it's going to be all right. We've still got a lot to face. I'm like, I want to ride my bicycle. I want to have physical interactions with other human beings who consent to be physically interacted with. Then you can lock me up and take away my job all you want, squirrel.
Oh, there was a lot
conjugal visits.
Yeah. But he didn't even refer to any of that. He just basically told us, I'm going to be giving you lots of money that I don't have.
Not me, everyone other than me.
Yeah.
That 350 rands for every single person who's unemployed.
Yeah. Now,
That's 10 rand 50 a day.
It's so bad. It's so bad. What can you do for that? And frankly, if anyone thinks that that's a good thing, if anyone's sitting there going, wow, that's amazing, well, where was the ANC's keenness to sort out the unemployment crisis up to now?
And I might be in the minority here and have an unpopular opinion, but what was the justification with that? I'm not even on the side of debate whether it's enough or too little.
But it was all lube for you not going to be able to work for a few more months still. It was like lube, 350 rand for 2 months and then 500 rand a month for the next 4 months. Yeah. And you're thinking to yourself, but wait, I'm no Scientologist, but if I try to do this math quickly, you're saying unemployment benefit increasing for the next like 3 or 4 months. But so on Thursday, you're going to tell us whether you're opening the country or not.
As you just pointed out, Gord, he also just doesn't seem to care about people who actually can stand on their own 2 feet and have been responsible and have maybe saved a bit of money.
We never got mentioned.
Not a chance. It's as if you don't exist. He's speaking only to people who are highly dependent on him. He's not interested in helping people who can actually kickstart the economy, who can open their businesses. By the way, your favorite restaurant, I've got bad news for you. It is never coming back. Forget about it. That is gone. All your favorite places to go are finished. If you look at the schedule that's been sent around, and it seems to me to be the legit one, the way that this is going to work, there's going to be a phased approach to the opening of the economy. Some businesses are just never going to open again. And if you were ever in the restaurant...
I haven't seen that yet.
No, if you're in the restaurant trade, forget about it. You better find some other employment. Go and open up a small quarry in your back garden where you can mine clay and make pots.
Well, I'm going to have to go online and learn how to make a shawarma then, aren't I?
That's exactly what you're going to have to do. I'm sorry.
What does this schedule look like?
It's so complicated. It's tables. You can see that the bureaucrats have been hard at work here. For the first time in their lives, the bureaucrats in the ANC, the SACP, the engine room of ANC thought, has been hard at work here to try and find a way to unfold the economy after this. And for them, it's a dream because they can build some kind of insane utopia where we're all dependent on the state for the rest of our lives. I don't want to go down this path for the first hour of this morning's show, so let's just pause there. Gord, you did something really funny the other day. I follow you on social media, obviously, but it was maybe the Blackie Chan account, and you were talking to your cat, but when you speak to your cat, you speak to your cat in this funny voice.
Yeah, I've been told it's like Eric Cartman meets, who else? Winnie the Pooh.
I wish Cyril would speak to us like that when he does a presidential address. Just talk to me like you would speak to your cat.
Oh, my fucking God, Blackie Chan, you are so sweet and fucking fluffy, but you bite me whenever you can for no reason, and it makes me sad in my heart. Blackie Chan, why do you reject me and fail to perform on the camera? Tuna jewel time, tuna jewel time.
You go whisperer, but I do not think your cat appreciates that.
Follow the Blackie channel on Instagram, or just search for Blackie with a Y, Blackie Chan. She's very, very sweet.
Oh my God.
I've realized that I project an entire personality on her. She's actually just like very, I love her, but in terms of her behavior, she's a very unremarkable cat. She just kind of sits there and looks at me. Like on a bath, and I like project this entire personality where she's out to get me, and it's actually kind of insane.
I love it though, because it is indicative of the kind of insanity that we all are going through in some way, shape, or form, because we're either speaking to inanimate objects around us, or we're breaking down in small ways. And you and Blackie Chan are something to watch, something to behold.
It is definitely a little bit certifiable the way that I am with her, because I'm like that all the time, whether I'm filming it or not. And in fact, like I thought it was coincidence at first. Once I started, you know, I used to always put these videos up on my own social media, but I got a lot of people calling for me to set one up for her and do more of it. She'll be doing something cute and interactive, and she even sees me get my phone out, and she just stops and goes into like, she just does nothing.
What's up.
She knows to stop meowing and being cute and like doing some naughty shit. I get the camera out, and she just stops and sits down and looks at me like, what humorous thing are you referring to? So yeah, it's worse when the cameras are off. Cats retard me.
It's so funny.
Some parasite in them that makes you docile, and like
it's really
mentally unstable.
So Bulelo, you noticed the weirdest things about Cyril. You noticed that his suit was slightly better, and then you were annoyed. I saw a message from you where you said you're irritated that Somizi didn't tell us about the 500 billion in advance.
Yeah, that's. You know when people get angry in life, generally, it's always about the disparity and what really happened. So if Somizi had prepared me through something like a meme or him and his boyfriend releasing it at a 15th wedding to say 500 billion coming out of Cyril's mouth, coming out of your pocket,
right.
I wouldn't have been sunken as I was last night. It was tough.
Yeah.
Tough to hear none of that stuff.
You like to get lubed by Somizi when it comes to matters of politics.
Oh, come on.
Well,
you just always need that little bit of getting ready. You know what I mean?
You can't just go
fist in. You need to lube up.
Right. I couldn't
leather up.
And I honestly feel like this whole welcome to Tuesday story on Thursday. In the meantime, watch another hour of this crap so that in case they mention small businesses, which they won't, or tell you what's going to happen with lockdown, which is what you really tuned in to know.
But now I feel like, look, I thought I'd be the last person to stand up for the president. So I feel like he's damned if he does or he's damned if he doesn't. Yeah. Because a lot of conversation was around the fact that we'd like to see him more often, we'd like to hear from him more often. And then he does speak and then go, not enough. I don't know.
Whatever's coming on Thursday is either going to be hectic because they needed Tuesday also, or it was a trailer. Coming soon. Actual information. List packages. The unemployed. The small businesses. The medium businesses. The huge businesses. The parastatals. And nothing for the self-employed.
Yeah. Well,
looking forward to finding out more things on Thursday.
Bend over and take the hold of this big tube of lube.
Bring spit in your palm because Thursday is coming.
You've locked me there.
Well, I suppose we can at least take a little bit of solace in the fact that the whole world is a little bit screwed up in terms of. You see, I think there's a sunken cost for government. And Cyril starts off last night by saying, lockdown has definitely worked. It's delivered dividends. Now, I don't believe that at all.
Well, my doctor said that it has. Like, I went to see my doctor last week because I need to get my ears looked at from time to time. If I don't, then I'm asking for trouble. Like, if I don't get them regularly, just a bit of maintenance done on them, I'll get an ear infection. Ear canals, and they're like half the size they should be, and they get blocked easily. And like,
Gareth, why did that make you wince?
Yeah, I get ear infections if I don't go get my ears like looked at every 6 months or so. And I was gonna wait until after the lockdown, and then when it was extended, I was like, no, well, they're bothering me, so I'm gonna go see my doctor. Yeah. My doctor's an old friend of mine; he has been for 20 years. He's a man that's done things to me that once two men have done those things. And he's taken certain virginity apologies from me that I'll never get back. And so I love Sam. I love him. I love him. And so I was asking him, and he was like, look, he's not an economist. And he's commenting purely from a medical perspective.
Yeah.
He's not talking about from the perspective of the economy, but he's like, medically, the government couldn't have done any better. They shocked him to his bones about how well they did respond, and how almost like a shining example to the rest of the world of how to respond properly medically. The argument about money and stuff's different, but he's like, all it's done is bought time. He's like, this thing is an absolute shit. Because I was thinking, like, you know, by now it's got to be time to open up the quarantine. And first of all, like in New York, the highest fatality demographic is fat people, more than old people. They're like at the most risk. So us fatties are got to watch the fuck out. And then he was like, with winter coming, where 3/4 of his patients normally are respiratory patients with coughs and bronchitis and chest colds, and that shit's normal. He's going to either have to screen every patient and they're going to have to pay for it, or assume that everyone who comes in has got the COVID. And he's like, it's going to be like everywhere. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people are going to need to go to hospital. So this whole thing has bought time. It's bought time to prepare the hospitals. It's bought time to train the medical people. It's bought time to bring in masks. It's bought time to chuck in some extra mattresses. But he's like, it's just like a stay of execution.
I'm happy for your doctor, but I don't agree. And not because I'm a medical expert and you don't need to be. I think that this thing has upended. It is a decision that has so many ramifications beyond the medical. You know, people who are going to die, you don't prevent the disease. It's not as if lockdown has stopped this thing in its tracks and we've beaten it. It's not as if we found a cure or a vaccine. And even if we had a vaccine, it's not as if that would work. I mean, every year there's a flu shot. That doesn't mean you don't get the flu. And this thing comes from a similar family.
I think that's kind of what he was saying, though, the lockdown hasn't stopped it. It's just bought us time.
Of course doctors are going to say that, because doctors' business is keeping people healthy, and doctors' business is trying to not overwhelm the medical system. But so far, I'm hearing only stories about empty hospitals, and I know we're only at the start of this thing, and maybe lockdown has done something to assuage that. But I'm telling you, if it's going to catch on, it's going to catch on. There's a Swedish immunologist, and I'll tell you what his name is, Johan Giesecke, who said,
"Oh,
yeah." And you must look this guy up. He's no slouch. This guy is a. He's actually worked with the WHO, for those people who are WHO fans. But he's clearly someone who doesn't agree with the way that they're handling this worldwide now. He says in Sweden, where they've decided to not lock down, there are obviously immediately quite a lot of deaths, a higher death rate there than in places where they've had the lockdown for now. But he says in the long term, this is the only strategy to follow, because you cannot hide.
Spike the curve.
And you cannot run. Yeah, so he says you go in, you hit this, you let this thing hit hard, and then it starts to peter out, and your nation becomes stronger for the next wave. Because when the next wave comes, which is starting to happen in Hong Kong and Singapore and places like that, it's just as devastating, if not more. Because now you're not able to go into a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth lockdown. I mean, you're basically going to be in lockdown forever, which means you're condemning people to poverty. And that is.
But I started with a big disclaimer about how it wasn't a comment on the economics of it. It was just saying they got some time to lube the medical system.
You cannot isolate economics from health, and you cannot isolate health from economics.
No, you can't, unless you're talking to your doctor about purely medical ramifications.
So here's what you get.
But he says,
you as a person.
This is not going to solve.
No, it's not going to solve any problem. You as a person get to say.
It's not going to solve the problem. The shit is coming.
You get to say, I'm going to prioritize my health, in which case I'm sacrificing money. Or you get to say, I'm going to prioritize my role in the economy, in which case I'm sacrificing potentially my health. If you're young,
people throw enough money at me, I plan to continue to self-isolate indefinitely. I want a conjugal visit maybe once a week, and I want to be able to ride my bicycle around the neighborhood for exercise and fun. Yeah. And that's it. You can keep isolating me. Clients can reach me at home, and I will continue with my little book publishing empire that's off to a great start, touch wood. However, they need to open the printing company so that I can fucking print my books. Because I've been
that's
making.
That's all you ask for.
Happy, excuse me, that was pretty gross. I'm happy to not see people unless I'm doing a weekly shopping
or having a conjugal visit. And I'll get one of those laser guns that you put in a person's ear to see if they have a temperature before I allow them to come and conjugal visit.
The amount of ear and gay sex references we've made in the mere 30 minutes of the show this morning.
So I mentioned lube, I mentioned ear temperature, I mentioned conjugal visits. What? And my doctor penetrating me was not gay, that was medical.
God, we don't have to have a recap, okay?
All right, let's.
Neither of us enjoyed it. We just became closer friends.
Let's get into some news headlines because it's just after 5:30. And I apologize again for the technical problems we had at the start of the show this morning. It's why, you know, if you're listening to the podcast, you'll think, oh, hell, I've missed like 10 minutes. Well, we were trying to reconnect.
We had to try to do this 4 years ago. I mean, the internet being lacquer had big steps forward in the last few years. The timing of this in the days of the 14.4 modem.
Absolutely impossible.
Type in an IRC chat room.
You remember that? All right. So the South African National Defence Force took the streets of Alexandria, encouraging residents in the township to stay indoors. But lawyers on Tuesday approached the Constitutional Court to deal with the killing of a civilian, allegedly by soldiers, during a lockdown operation in Alex. Collins Kwaza's family claims he died after being assaulted by the South African National Defence Force in his home earlier this month. Attorney Vicar Stale explained that they approached the Constitutional Court. Ours is that we should go to the Constitutional Court as soon as possible because this judgment is critical to the country. There is no doubt that government will appeal this, but we will be going to the Constitutional Court. Good. Good. We should all support this. This guy, if he was killed by the South African National Defence Force, we need to put these thugs in line immediately. They need to know that there is a constitution, which is the supreme law of this land, and it protects our freedoms. It protects our freedom of movement. It protects our freedom of association. And no virus and no edict from Cyril Ramaphosa can abrogate those rights. None. So good for this lawyer and good for all the other lawyers, and we should all join in this as a class action. Honestly, if I were you and you one of those people who's donating money to the Solidarity Fund, so you can get your 10% tax back, according to Cyril, you should take that money and give it to this lawyer so that he can fight the government on the field where it matters.
Fight the power. Right. Fight the powers that be.
These guys need to be taken to task. And the Defence Force, the South African National Defence Force, which is probably one of the least professional defence forces in the world.
And the offence force, am I right?
One of the most dangerous to the people of this country needs to be brought back in line. All these people running around who don't use guns normally, who we actually just pay to eat, are now suddenly running around. And they've got guns, and they think they're very powerful, and this is extremely dangerous. Good luck to this lawyer. Good luck to Collins's family. It is despicable that someone in a township in South Africa should have to fear when they see someone in uniform. And it's been going on too long. We should fight this on all fronts. Number two, apparently the Defence Force has laid charges against the suppliers of ration packs for the military.
Speaking of eating.
Yeah, the packs were given to soldiers deployed for the lockdown. It's discovered the meals have expired. If the Constitutional Court doesn't stand up for us, maybe these people's stomachs will let them down, and then we will win. Because these packs were given to soldiers, but it turns out that, like, the savory rice and the sampan beans is all off.
Oh.
So they found...
It's expired, like... You know, it's a few days past its expiry date, but those are generally arbitrary dates and can still be fine, or it's like it's gone bad.
Well, troops found stickers with new expiry dates placed over the original dates. So they probably it's probably well over. It's just so bad. A case has been opened with the military police and a team that's been appointed to investigate. And Zwelinzima Vavi, never ever one to miss out on a crisis in which he is not involved, is one to tweet this. He says, the tenderpreneurs and hyenas never stop exploiting every opportunity to feed their elastic stomachs. Reported this to the Minister of Defense, and she acted immediately. I like the way he jumps to the conclusion that it's tenderpreneurs and hyenas, instead of the fact that it's bad management by government. I mean, why don't they check these things? If I'm buying a meal from Gord, and Gord supplies me with a shit meal, it is my job to make sure that I stop paying Gord to supply me with shit meals. You'd think.
I mean, you're talking to the team fat person about the meal being shit. I can assure you it will be fantastic and there will be plenty of it and you'll love it and I'll feed you for free. But I take I appreciate the metaphor. Yeah, I don't want my personal approach to hospitality being besmirched by being associated with the shitty government. I'm no hyena.
All right. Well,
fun fact, in Finland, if the food's expired, you can have it for free at a store.
Oh, okay. So you take your chances.
Yeah, well.
Okay. There are a couple of also European nations. I want to say France, but I stand to be corrected, where they're not allowed to throw it away. Like, they have to donate it to food banks within a certain amount of time of it. So there's a little period built into the expiry date where once it expires, it's still technically okay for like a day and a half, and it's got to go straight to homeless shelters and food banks. They're not allowed to dispose of their food. I'm pretty sure it's France. Could be wrong. Could be somewhere else in the EU. But
I think if you're desperate enough, and people throughout history have eaten whatever they could find. People make curries.
No one's desperate in Finland.
No, but, you know, in the reason curry exists is because people put all that spice and stuff into the food to preserve it, because usually the meat's already off. So
it's some stories about some like hardcore shit that happens on the subcontinent with meat.
Yeah. To make it last longer.
From bins and shit, they dig it out and then they make like curries out of it. It's myth. Yeah. it's sad because it's a function of poverty, but it's also just myth in terms of...
Well, listen, if people are desperate, and they're going to be a lot of desperate people going forward who have to live on Cyril's like 300 rand a month or whatever it is, so they're going to be finding new ways of eating rotten shit. Watch. Here is a story that's quite positive. The visitors returned to 8 different countries, including Germany, the United Kingdom, Netherlands, France, and the United States. According to the German Consulate General, 4,000 German tourists in the Western Cape at the start of the national lockdown have been repatriated. By Thursday this week, all of them, plus another 400 people from other European countries, have all been sent home. So they've arranged flights for them, and they've got them back to their families in countries in Europe. Finance and Economic Opportunities MEC David Mania said that officials from the tourism... Mania, M-A-Y-N-I-E-R.
I want a cool name like that, man.
Said officials from the tourism sector...
David Mania. I'd just be a WWE wrestler. It would be awesome.
Yeah.
They should have just sent them to Hermanus. It's already Germany.
Yeah, well, I've never been to Hermanus. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
They've played an integral role in the repatriation process, making sure tourists were well taken care of so that they could consider returning to South Africa when we're ready to reopen our borders. Like that's going to happen. They ensured that each visitor was given a farewell note wishing them a safe and speedy trip home. This is what this minister was busy with. This is such madness.
No, are you kidding me? Oh, that's outrageous.
Salagashle.
Player hating on pleasantries. It's nice to get a farewell note when you're fleeing the country to get home.
Yeah.
Sorry about the pandemic. Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen. Come back and see us soon when we don't have a
come
pandemic.
Come back when the pandemic's over.
It just doesn't roll on the tongue or off well when it's in the history books one day. And as the world dealt with an epic pandemic and people had to flee back to their countries, they were sweet enough to leave a note.
I was like fleeing South Africa, and it was, you know, very stressful. But then when I was getting on the plane at long last and thinking, oh, I'm going to see my little family, I saw there was this lovely note from the transport minister saying to me, Auf Wiedersehen. It was all fine.
Bladen Zimande, who's the Minister of Higher Education, believe it or not, still he's a minister.
Another cool name.
Yeah, this guy's been in government from, oh my God, like 1994. This fucking idiot's been around, and he's done absolutely nothing of any positive consequence at all over those 25 years. I'm sorry, I'm choking up. I'm so emotional about Blade. Anyway,
he
together with others in the sector on higher education, briefed Parliament's Portfolio Committee on plans to rescue the 2020 academic year. Now, on Tuesday, he said further delays to the academic calendar due to COVID-19 could also impact the completion of the 2021 academic year. The sector said it was working with the Department of Basic Education to reorganize the calendar. It is to ensure that there is a proper environment cleaning of environmental cleaning of campuses and residences, and that is happening on campus sites. Guys, I know there's a guy who lives down the road from me here who who's completing matric. His parents are neighbors of mine. I don't know what the story is there. I don't know if he's going to be able to write matric this year, if they're just going to give everybody a pass, which means that it's a worthless document. It's already touch and go. Like, I can't look at someone's educational qualifications if they come from a South African high school or university. I can't, because there's no way to tell whether that actually means anything or not. And now, because of this crisis all over the world, we're going to have less reason to look at that stuff. Maybe it's time to just give up on the old system and find a new system. Find a new way.
Sit someone down in the interview and you say, right, here are three questions on the zodiac, here are three questions on the shape of the earth, and here are three questions on vaccines. Answer these, and then we'll see about phase two of your interview. Pin the tail on the donkey, place the apostrophe. The following sentence requires three apostrophes.
I love it, yes. But
it's got three little apostrophes with Velcro on the back,
yeah.
And there's six places where it might, using air quotes, be able to go.
Uh-huh.
You need to use all three and use them correctly. So then the next thing will be a discussion about the zodiac, about flat earth, and about vaccines.
Yeah, but Gord, this is, of course, assuming that we can employ anyone in the forthcoming 3 years. So let's just shelve that anyway, because I don't think anyone's going to be employed anyway. So good luck to you. If you have a matric certificate, good luck to you if you have a university degree. Do not spend your money.
We should all start to farm. I literally want to just grow vegetables in my garden.
Yeah.
I want to start, like, I don't smoke weed, but I want to start growing extremely high quality chronic, like I used to do, like, in varsity and the few years after varsity. Yeah, make a lot of money selling chronic. Live off the land. I've got, like, 8 thriving pea plants that I planted a few weeks ago. Nothing else that I planted came up.
Well done.
Came up hard. So I can say that pea plants are easy to plant.
Okay.
They're not like broccoli and radishes, which do fuck all and just laugh at you from under the ground, despite the fact that you all fat, bought expensive spades, and dug the stones out that your tenant put over all the beds. But peas come up. So you can plant like 150,000 pea plants, a few chronic plants. Also, bunnies. If you just leave bunnies in the garden and you eat those, they like produce new bunnies.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, you got it. We got to think about this. People are going to start bringing sheep into the suburban neighborhood. So
but you've got to like dig under where the so, for example, where your gate is that goes to your neighbor's garden. You need to like dig, then put down like mesh fencing, and then fill the hole in. So when the bunny tries to dig out under the walls, under the gate, it can't get out. And then you just leave them, and you just throw out some like bunny food, and then you wait a few months, and you just your two bunnies. Also, if you start with two, and then you get to lots, if you don't eat them quickly, they start getting mega inbred, so you've got to like eat them for the good of them not being born all mong and stuff.
All mong,
right?
Yeah.
Well, this is why this is why we decided to come on this morning and do a show, because we wanted to give you practical information that Cyril didn't when he's busy shelling out cash left, right, and center about how you can look to yourself to make a living in a world where. Otherwise, the only way you're going to make a living is if Cyril and his benevolent ANC hand money out to you. So we're showing you ways to do that.
Refer to him as Squirrel from now on because it is funny.
Okay, Squirrel Ramaphosa.
And it's got a take.
Okay.
We as broadcasters have a responsibility to be disseminators of culture. Squirrel is a thing.
If your boy is serious about getting matric there, I'd imagine if he's living around you, he's got something called the internet.
Yeah.
You can just do O and A. You can do O. No, but you can do O and A levels online. It's not the end of the
world. But
if you're smart enough to get matric,
it doesn't matter. He's not going to get a job, Mbulelo.
He's around you. I'm pretty sure he can move to Australia or K. Isn't that the thing? Moving to London, Australia with A levels.
No, I think that the people who are in, we can take this as a given. The people who are in South Africa now don't have money to go anywhere else. So that argument's done.
I'm packing a bit of a passport, but I certainly wouldn't mind having money. I'd take money over a passport. But with the education thing, like, I always thought it's a pretty good example of, like, how we let 18-year-old people drink and drive. Well, not ideally not at the same time. They can drive, they can drink, they can vote, right?
Yeah.
Because they're, like, officially adults. Now, we all know, as people who are into our 30s and 40s and whatever,
yeah,
and see, that, like, you don't have anything like the capacity for responsible actions. Like, when you look back on yourself when you're 18 or 21 or even 23, 24, I think you start, like, being adulty and kind of older self when you hit your mid-20s and maybe even later than that. But, like,
yeah,
if I remember, like, I slacked a bit as a kid in high school. I buggered around, but I did well. I academically did pretty well. I got 4 A's in matric, and without sounding too much like a durst, that wasn't with a great deal of effort. I could have probably got more if I'd studied. But, like, school wasn't that hard for me.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, a matric exam being a thing. You had to learn. There was, like, a textbook that you had to go through. You had to spend, because standard 9 is a dry run for matric, or class 11 is a dry run for matric. They teach you the same shit. You just do it for 2 years. Like, given a week to book of a subject at high school and told the final exam's in a week. You've got a week. You don't have to work. You just have to learn this textbook. I'd get 97%. Like, I would pass matric. I maybe would need the teacher to take me through the math stuff and everything else. I'll just read the textbook twice and go and pass the shit out of the test. So, you can, like, just read the source material and, like Umbi says, watch some YouTube tutorials and, like, pass. If you have access to internet and technology and you really want to, there's kids who, like, get, like, 8 A's out of 9 subjects in township studying by candlelight while working 2 jobs and fetching water 5 K's away. The kids, if they really want to, they can pass their matrix.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think there are going to be new things. Look, we can either sit and complain about the reality, or we can make a difference. And I think there's going to be a new way to do things. What I'm saying to people like Blade and Zimande is that your old ways are no longer relevant. And I don't think that anyone can argue with me on that front.
Right. Education as well. It's like, I don't remember who I was reading, but I was reading a book recently by someone credible, I think. Mm-hmm. And the point stuck in my head that, like, your education, school education, becomes irrelevant every 5 to 10 years.
Correct.
So if you did high school five or especially 10 years ago, almost with the exception of, like, universal truth stuff like maths, with the exception of that, like, everything should be – your biology will have been – your geography, everything will have changed. So your history as well. So, like, in theory, you should basically, like, go through or familiarize yourself with or even study and take tests on the matric syllabus or – you know, the O-levels, A-levels, that kind of thing. You should redo that stuff every 10 years or just
at least bring yourself
up to speed on it. But I promise you now, I didn't do biology in matric because you kind of had to make hard choices. I wish I had because I'm very interested in it. But I think I could pass exam.
Oh, dude.
Study, yeah, and if you gave me the textbook in a week, I would get an A. I'd get 100%. Because I know of science. I've learned. I've read other books. I care about learning.
Yeah, let me just sort this thing. Now this
knows about everything.
Yeah, now this dumb thing is busy launching with all these noises. I'm just trying to get to the messages because it seems like our phone disconnected there as well. So rolls off the tongue might be Sia's favorite phrase. Someone has noticed. Sia, there's a new phrase for you. Sandile says so. Can we have no corona? Here's an interesting thing. Can we have no corona Fridays, like we have no politics Fridays? Although I think a corona-free hour every day would be appreciated, if I'm being honest. I'm getting tired of all the hysteria and the grumbling. Some of us listen to the show to escape the dog's mess that has become part of our lives. I understand that you can't not discuss it, especially when there are huge developments. But I'd rather hear Mbulelo talk about how he once climbed up Devil's Peak barefoot and in thick mist, got lost, slept in the carcass while then fought off a caracal with the buckle of his K-Way fanny pack and climbed back down when the mist cleared to make his Monday 8 a.m.
Just reasoned with it. Lecture. Reasoned with the caracal using Kantian principles and made it realize that it's got more to achieve in its life than biting him.
Yeah.
And him and the caracal then became great respectful adversaries and played a game of chess.
All right, so Pabalo, thanks for that. We will take it into consideration.
I've been saying it's the same thing on social media. Like, you know, it's not for me to dictate the rules of social media, but if you want my suggestions, every time you post a COVID-y thing, make a note of it. Oh. And you know how, like, people in prison, they do like 5 stripes and then a line through? Like, you have now posted your COVID thing. You are responsible for posting 4 non-COVID things before you're allowed to post another COVID thing. Because, yeah, it is unavoidable because it is obviously the biggest news story in the last, like, 4 decades. So you have to have like a 20% to 8% COVID ratio. If you want to talk COVID, earn it by not talking COVID.
So before we move off education, for those who are interested in different ways of thinking about the future of that, is you can go and look up a guy called Sir Ken Robinson, and he has some extremely what I find interesting ideas. So you can look him up.
Oh, okay.
Go read his books. Go look up his videos.
I started a course yesterday in Egyptology.
Oh, very interesting.
Very interesting. That's interesting shit. I think I may have mentioned this before. I bought a masterclass subscription. Okay. And like just the amount of awesome courses taught by amazing people, you know, and some kind of, and a few things that don't interest me at all and maybe a bit wishy-washy, but like Judd Apatow teaches comedy, Steve Martin teaches comedy, Neil Gaiman teaches writing, Dan Brown, who is a bit of a shit writer, he teaches writing. Okay. I mean, all kinds. Acting by Natalie Portman, acting by, I stand to be corrected on this, but I think it's Sir Ian McClellan. Oh, Morgan Freeman.
Oh, okay.
Teaches acting.
Gareth was turned off by Natalie.
Yeah,
There's something. Gareth, if you're turned off by Natalie Portman, you need to ask yourself some damn questions because she fine is.
No,
I don't care how crap her acting course is.
I'm talking about how irritating she is as a human being. I'm not talking about the way she looks. She's great to look at. Don't get me wrong.
She can be irritating when she's that hot. Point is, there's something for everybody. Gordon Ramsay teaches cooking, and it's a subscription thing. You pay a yearly subscription. They've got a special at the moment where it's buy one, get one free. It's 3,000 Rand for a year, and you can then have 2 memberships and share it with a friend. And, yeah, it's 1,500 bucks in the time of COVID, but it's a year's worth of education. It's like Netflix for people who want to learn. So check out Masterclass. It's very cool. Like, and your course on Egyptology, where are you doing that, GC?
No, it's an online series of videos that I'm watching. It was a lecture by the University of Long Island, and this guy is giving their 48 episodes, and I'm on episode 2, and it's really interesting. He teaches you a little bit about, you know, medicine in ancient Egypt, a little bit about the language. You get to read and understand some hieroglyphics. He teaches you about monumental architecture, Egyptian mythology, farming, all the political background to ancient Egypt, the chronology. I've always been fascinated by this, and I think I started it because I realized, like, I don't want to just be watching the news and paying attention to daily stuff like Pabalo mentioned in his message. So it's just something, look, I'm not going to come out of this with a degree in Egyptology, but I'm interested in the subject.
Sure. Same with Masterclass. You just learn about shit. Right. You learn practical application information about cool things.
So I'll be reporting back if it's any good. And then
it's Long Island, really.
University of Long Island. Yeah. So it's an interesting thing. John T says, Gord, bunnies have no nutritional value. Goats would be better.
But can you – okay, bunnies have got to have nutritional value. I mean, look, I'm not an expert, so I won't stone contradict Jonty, but, I mean, I'm pretty sure a bunny is about as good as a chicken for roasting purposes and the feeding of a family. I mean, how does it have no nutritional value? It's an animal made of meat.
Well, their meat is not particularly nutritious. In other words, if you survived only on bunny, you'd be very, very ill.
Oh, for fuck's sake, man. It was such a great solution in my mind. Damn it, Jonty.
All right, and then here's an interesting thing.
You could stitch together their pelts and make clothing.
You could. I mean, rabbit pelts, that's another thing you could do. That we're all looking for a side hustle, Gord. I'm not going to knock you. I think it's good.
Just to knock me sooner, I'm going to go fucking crazy. Cyril, I want conjugal visits.
Well, speaking of conjugal visits, Woody had a conjugal visit on Monday, remember? Woody, who listens to us, he said it was so good that he had multiple sessions in the one visit. I had to redo it yesterday for about 2 hours. Jesus, Woody, you're a machine.
So you had an illegal visitor, Woody?
Yeah, Woody went to visit someone, and he actually got in his car and drove somewhere for a pump.
Woody wasn't Woody until this week.
No, but good
for him. He just used to be Nathan. He used to be Douglas. He's Woody.
And then he also carries on about Catherine the Great. He says, after your show about Catherine the Great and blind history, I watched a two-hour documentary about her on YouTube. It was so awesome. I also saw there is a series about her that was released in October last year on HBO. I have to go and watch it. Yes. It's a terrific show. It's actually got Helen Mirren as Catherine the Great. It's absolutely brilliant. So, Woody, you won't be disappointed. What an interesting woman. We released the episode of Catherine the Great in Blind History yesterday, and you can go and get it on cliffcentral.com. So there we go. There's some useful info. And then this is just one last thing before we get into the second hour. Vinny says, guys, I thought you should know I had a test over here and all the results are sent to Cape Town. I felt like one of those people on the Murray Povich show when they read out the results. Vincent, you are the father of little loose neck Richards. So,
what is the Murray Povich show?
It's a show in America.
Yeah, very similar to like Jerry Springer, but they have all of these guests who want to make sure that the child really is theirs, and then they read out the results on there. The best thing, I'm sure there's several compilation videos of this on YouTube, is just the reaction.
Well, you remember Vinny's the one who told us about that kid that he has, and this is the test result for whether he's the father or not.
Oh, that's the dude. Yeah, he was a lovely oak, and he was off to Australia to meet his...
No, he was coming from Australia.
Oh, he was coming back from Australia's daughter who'd never heard about him.
Right, so here are the results. We need a drum roll here, please. Vincent...
Oh, wait, am I sitting down?
Yeah, right. So everybody get ready. This is the big moment we've been waiting for, okay? Everybody, are you ready for the results? What is that? Was that a sound of your mouth, Sia, or are you playing an instrument?
That was trumpet sound I made with my mouth.
I thought it was Sia. All right, here it is.
Vinny, for God's sake, get on with it.
Is the father of the little girl in Cape Town.
Congratulations, Vinny. If we were allowed to go buy cigars, I'd clap one for you.
He says, I'm going to...
I'll draw a person smoking a cigar.
He's going to wait until the coronavirus thing is over and get his black ass over here. Thank you, guys. Love the show. So, Vinny, congratulations on being a dad.
He already came over.
No, he's still in Australia.
He was on... I thought he was like a day away from traveling before. Anyway, congratulations, Vinny.
Yeah.
That is a wild ride.
Yeah, how's that, huh?
Oh, that is hectic. I mean, when I go to like the shops and there's no sliced mangoes, wow. There's you've got a child. What?
That just reminded me of yesterday. And I just was laughing because I thought that their new payoff line, I'm always thinking in terms of advertising terms because it's like my slave situation. But I was like, their payoff line should be Woolworths, better because it costs more. Like everything should have honest payoff lines from now on. Like,
yeah. If we could do that, that would be a big improvement. All right, everybody, we're going to come back with the next hour of the show. We've got
you can afford it.
We got plenty to discuss in the next hour. We got Ivo Fechter, who's going to join us about the UIF. I want to talk to him about COVID-19. I know some people are sick of hearing about this, but Ivo has been doing a lot of research into the different models, and maybe by the end of this, we can figure out whether or not we've made the right call, because clearly, according to the president in his speech last night, the costs of this are going to be unparalleled in terms of emergency costs. So let's see what Ivo can add to that in the next hour. CliffCentral.com. It's just after 7. Thanks for listening to CliffCentral.com. Podcasts of all our shows are always available on the website, the Cliff Central app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.